This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Louise and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. Now I'm going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi, I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thanks, Grant. So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, it's not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose the control over when we'll stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. And this is what makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. Would they like to introduce themselves?
Yes. I'm Grant, and I'm still an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I think I'm a garden variety alcoholic. I come from a family of or long line of alcoholics, and never knew that I was an alcoholic. I just did what everyone around me was doing, and I had no idea, and I ended up going through two mental institutions, and although their names wouldn't signify that, with Sunnyside and Cherry Farm, and but I also went through a Palmerston North Hospital. I had a couple of weeks in there and still didn't know. I had 2 DICs in 2 weeks in 2 different countries.
So certainly a lot to bring you to that point of powerlessness. Do you want to just tell us a little bit more about, you know, how old are you and how long have you been sober?
I'm 55 now and I've been sober just over 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you got, tell me about your family. Are you married? Have you got kids?
I'm not married. I've been in a relationship for the last 10 years mm-hmm. with the same woman.
Wonderful.
Which is an achievement on its own, especially for her. And she has 2 grown-up kids that I inherited.
Wonderful.
Both live on the Gold Coast now, thank God.
Okay. And so tell us, where are you from?
I'm from Christchurch. Yeah, okay. Born and bred.
Yep.
But lived for a long time up in the North Island due to the nature of my dad's job.
Okay, all right. And so where did you get sober?
Here
in Christchurch?
Yeah, in Christchurch, yeah.
Excellent. And so let's go back to the drinking and tell us, how did it start? How old were you and what was it like?
I was really young. When I first picked up a drink, and mm-hmm. I drank alcoholically, I remember that. I remember mm-hmm. the craving,
mm-hmm.
Although I didn't realise about the mental obsession or any that side of it. My mum used to have a lot of parties when my dad was away.
Right.
There was our family life was not good at all.
Okay.
So my job was to collect the empties, only they weren't empty until I'd emptied them. And I would have only been 8 or 9 years old doing that.
Wow.
And my older brother, older sister were doing the same. And that's the way it started. And I just didn't know any different.
Yep. And when you emptied those empties, how did that make you feel?
It made me feel a part of the party.
Right.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was the effect that I sought.
Yep.
Unconsciously for many, many years after that.
So, so how did you drink, in your early teens, throughout your teens?
I drank till I passed out.
Okay.
I've always been a blackout drinker.
Right from the start?
Right from the start.
And did you find that was how others were drinking? Was that the nature of the beast with people you were drinking with?
Most of the people that I ran with were hard drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the one that ended up being blacked out, passed out, vomiting profusely,
mm-hmm.
just a messy, messy end,
mm-hmm.
whereas the others, not so much. Every now and again, they would, which made my behaviour seem normal.
Okay. And so how did your drinking progress into adulthood?
It progressed to the point where I couldn't hold a job down.
Okay.
I couldn't, I had no relationships with the opposite sex, very, very few friends.
Mm-hmm.
Any opportunity that came my way, I ruined it with drink or behaviour. I know you'll understand of the ism when we're not drinking, the anger, the resentments, all that stuff just ruined anything that came my way that was of value.
So whether you were drinking or not?
Yeah, I was just, as one of my so-called friends said to me, you're an oxygen thief.
Wow.
And that was what I was.
Right.
That's the truth.
So you had people telling you, this is how you are, this is how you act. Did that make you want to change at all?
Nope.
Nope. Didn't matter.
Not at all.
Okay.
It was something wrong with them.
So at what point did you think, maybe I have a problem?
I'd been everywhere else.
Okay.
I'd been to counselling, I'd been to church, I'd done short-term jails stays.
As a result of your drinking?
As a result of my drinking and my general behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been in counselling for 3 years solid and wasn't making any headway.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I went and spoke to an auntie of mine who we used to do a lot of dope together.
Right.
And she actually said that she was working with someone from AA. And I remember thinking at the time, what do I want to see them for?
Wow. How old would you have been?
I was 30.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 30 by then.
Yep.
And he came and 12-stepped me. And
For those that might not understand what that means, what did he mean?
He came and shared his story with me, what it was like when he was drinking, what happened when he came into AA, and what his life was like now or today. And I just had nothing left in me, and I gave in. And he took me to some meetings, and I hated it. I didn't want to be a part of AA. So I went back out, and I did some more drinking.
Okay.
And then finally I got, his name was Chris, and I called him again.
So it's the same guy, the 12-step Jew.
Yep. And then he came and took me to Sunnyside.
Okay.
And I did an interview with a doctor there, and they sent me to Queen Mary.
Which is
in Hamner.
Okay.
Hamner Springs, which is closed now, but I got sent there. And for some reason, the penny dropped.
Wow.
It was in, they used to have a group where you would do a drinking history and read it to the group.
Yep.
And I heard it. And I thought, my God, how could you not know?
And this is your own story. You are telling it to others, and then you finally
heard. Yeah, I heard it.
That this is not the normal way that people...
Yeah. Yeah.
So the penny dropped.
Yeah.
So from that point, you know, is that what you've done? You know, how did you then, what were the next steps for you? How did you maintain your sobriety?
On the last Sunday of my stay in Queen Mary, a group from Rangiora came, and that's where I was living at the time. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys in the group said, "You're the only one in the hospital from Rangiora." And I said, "Yep." And he said, "Congratulations, I'm your sponsor."
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And away we went. I still get emotional about Frank and Rose, who are a couple of nutters. They're a husband and wife team.
Right.
Used to tag team me. But they immersed me in AA. Immersed me. I did 3 meetings a week with them religiously. I was always on the tea towel, setting up meetings, closing up meetings, 12-stepping with them. Just fantastic.
So I guess that, you know, that brings me to the question around sponsorship and service, and how important has that been to you?
Oh, mate, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you maintain today, even after 20-something years of sobriety?
Yep, I do. I'll be honest with you, though. I have gone away and looked for answers outside of AA for alcoholism. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone.
Okay.
And keep it simple.
It's brought you back.
It's like with a vengeance.
Okay.
And to me, this is the only place that works for alcoholics like my kind.
So tell us a bit more about what it was like after you got sober. How did you, you know, how did you feel within yourself from a self-esteem, you know, the need for counselling? Did you still need to go and see counsellors?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
No. I felt a part of something, and I knew in my heart that I belonged.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy all the time. Work was important to the people I was, you know, in the fellowship with, contributing. I felt great. I felt really good. Things started to happen for me. I started working for myself, and it just changed my life completely, you know.
And that, you know, and that is amazing. But tell us about some of the times where you might have struggled, and what have you done to get through those periods and maintain your sobriety?
Around the 3-year period, I struggled a lot because I hadn't done anything about the 12 steps.
Ah, okay.
And I did a geographical. I got an opportunity to go to Darwin, Australia, and to hook up with an old friend, and his father had just passed away, and he was drinking seriously. Mm. It was just horrible to be around. So I had to get out of there. And I actually went to a big book study group and met a guy there who read me the Riot Act.
Right.
For not doing what
the steps.
What I needed to do. And he took me away that afternoon, and I did the 3rd and 4th step with him that afternoon.
Wow.
He showed me how to do it, and we did it together. But he opened the book, and he showed me where everything was, and he told me how my 4th step was going to go.
Okay. Gave you the instructions.
Gave me the instructions, showed me on paper how it was done. And then what happened from there is I went out to a mine that was way out in the back of Western Australia. I was only supposed to be there a month. And he said, that's where you can do your fourth step.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you pray and pray sincerely because there's nothing else out there. There's no meetings out there.
Right.
So you need to, you know, you need to get real.
Yep.
So I did. And instead of 4 weeks being out there, I ended up being stuck out there for 10 weeks.
Wow.
And I actually did a really good fourth step and it was there was nothing in the tank when I finished.
Wow.
And I left there and I went back to Darwin and I ended up doing my fifth step, with Ted mm-hmm. the Irishman.
Right.
And I was terrified when I went to do my fifth step. And by the end of it, we were wetting ourselves laughing. It was so funny the way I thought.
It's, isn't it, hilarious yeah. where the fear, but then the...
Yeah. It was the best thing, mate, I have ever done, I think.
Yep. Sharing,
it was so freeing.
Sharing your experience with another. Yep. How wonderful. Yeah. And so tell us about how your life has changed and some of the things you've achieved since coming into sobriety.
My life has changed a lot because my partner Kay has, been a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But just before I met Kay, I got to live a boyhood dream where I went to the States and bought a Harley Davidson.
Wow.
And I ended up in 6 weeks putting 18,000 miles on that bike.
Awesome.
And I rode all around the States. I went to Founders Day, which is
the beginning of
event.
AA.
Yep.
Yep.
Every year they have a big hoolie in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. I went to the Mayflower Hotel and I picked up the phone and where Bill made his famous phone calls from.
Wow.
I went to the AA office there and I saw the lead light. Used to be a window. It's now a display of the man in the bed and the first edition big books where you have to put white gloves on to turn the pages. And it was just incredible. It really was. And then on the Sunday morning, I jumped on my bike and I did a ride from the university in Akron
mm-hmm.
to Dr. Bob Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and there was about 5,000 motorcycles in that rally.
Oh,
the ground
shook
when we started our bikes up, and it was just, mate, it was so cool.
Beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And that's something this program promises us.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And it delivers. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really amazing.
Yeah.
What about your goals for the future?
Well, funnily enough, this June, I've been invited to do a ride from Florida up the East Coast
mm-hmm.
into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, I'm going to stop at Stepping Stones, where Bill Wilson and Lois
mm-hmm.
Are buried.
Wow.
And lived, and where Bill wrote for many years.
Wow.
In a little hut called Wits End. So from there, we go across the bottom of Canada. And down the west coast into Mexico and then back to Florida. So that's my big goal for this year. And then Kay's got her 50th and wants to go to Vegas. So we're going to try and combine the two together.
Yeah.
And so it's an exciting year already.
And I think this is, again, back to the promises of what this can deliver, but it also shows how much this program means to you.
Oh, mate, I tell you, when you go away from AA and you get some harsh lessons,
mm-hmm.
you realise, or I realise, the beauty and the simplicity of what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes, for me, it takes a bit of pain to drive me back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'll be going too far again. I think I've learnt my lesson.
And it's so good to hear that, AA is a program that accepts us.
Yeah.
If we decide to go and do whatever it is we want to do, they will accept us back, and that fellowship is so welcoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about what spirituality means to you. You know, AA is not a religious program; it's a spiritual program. And how has that played a role in your sobriety?
Oh well, I can answer it really simply. Feeling good is good enough.
Okay.
And feeling good was something that I never felt before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly something that I don't feel when I've gone away from AA.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm involved with AA and I'm doing what is required, I'm connected.
Okay.
I have a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm with people who are like me,
mm-hmm.
I feel that bond, and with other people, but it's not as strong as when I'm with other members. But there's a whole part of spirituality and God that I don't understand.
Sure.
You know, and I don't worry about that anymore. When I'm on a bike or I'm out in nature, all that's a big part of it for me.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is feeling good is good enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone has that different, you know, different take to that spiritual basis. And I think, you know, the power in the group itself and the people.
Mm,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
What would you suggest for any listeners who are listening and think maybe I have a drinking problem?
I would suggest you come along to AA and sit in and listen to people and their stories. And if, like it was told to me, if you have any doubts about what you are or if you have a drinking problem at all, and it says it in our literature, go and try some controlled drinking.
And that means go out.
Try and stop. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And you will probably get your answer pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I guess, you know, that is exactly what our big book, our literature, tells us to do.
Yeah.
Those are the instructions. Yeah.
Pain will be your greatest motivator.
Yep. Wonderful. Okay. Look, Grant, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing your story and your experience with us.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up at the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are over 60 meetings a week here in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats again on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can also find podcasts of our past shows on the Plains FM website, and you can download these at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show, like we do in every AA meeting, with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Old man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life.